This is a recording of our Sun teleclass on January 14th, 2019. And the title of this is actually Unconventional Creative Approaches to Coaching. Okay? We would like all the participants to be able to apply what you've learned to whatever setting you are doing coaching in, whether it's one-on-one, personal coaching, business coaching, team coaching, or group coaching, or any other form of coaching. So this is not just about team coaching. This is applicable to any setting where you will be coaching. And our invited guest, I invited her myself, is Julia Karpiski, who is a PCC very close to the MCC, and she spends most of her coaching practice working with senior executives and their teams. She also works with teens and creative people. In addition to being a coach, she is a professional Russian interpreter, and I had the privilege of allowing me to listen, and she shared some amazing poetry and writing with me that prompted me to invite her to be with us. She is also a tango dancer. What makes Julia tick is that she's fascinated by what makes humans truly alive. So, I introduce you to someone who is kind of special in my life right now, who is offering our teleclass. Julia, you have the floor.
All right. Thank you so much for such a wonderful introduction. And the tagline of my coaching practice is Results Through Integrity. And I believe, as I'm sure a lot of people in this audience believe as well, is that when we're true to who... Yes, Terry, looks like you want to say something.
Yeah, I hear echo. I hear all the echoes of your voice in the room, but I'm not getting clarity on your words.
I'm not using headphones. I could maybe try and use the headphones. They're hardwood floors, maybe that's why.
Is anyone else having that experience? Maybe it's just me. Put your hand up if you're not getting echoes. Okay. Oh, some are, yes. Okay. Is there a way you can get closer to the microphone, Julia?
Yes. Then, okay. One, two, three, is this any better? No.
Yes, some people said yes. I will not use myself as a marker.
Is this any better?
Yes.
This is better. Okay, so I set it up the way that I did because it's easier for me to stand when I talk. So let me see, like this. All right, well, I'll just sit. It's fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So the tagline of my coaching practice is Results Through Integrity. And I believe that we're going to like the results if we stay true to who we are. And also, one of my biggest challenges as a person and as a coach is to help people break through all the masks and stories and shoulds and life and all that stuff around us and liberate them and myself to come home. And I find that one of the most effective, efficient, and actually most enjoyable way to do this is through art. And what I'm going to do here today is to share with you some of the poems that I wrote. And I've been using them with clients. And hopefully we'll have a discussion about what impact it had on you as people, as human beings, as fellow travelers, and also how you might use it with your own clients in your own practice. And to address that thing about team coaching, I do a lot of team coaching, and I do use these forms with teams, and if that comes up, we can also bring that in. This is a little bit nerve-wracking for me because I really have never shared these poems in this kind of setting. I've only shared it with people, either people that I know and I feel safe with, or when I show it to clients initially, I don't tell them it's mine. So bear with me. Please be patient. I'll probably stumble, so I'm just going to put it out there right now. Okay, so the first poem is called The Voice, and it's about me. It's about my clients. I suspect it's probably about many of you. And so some people had a very emotional response to this poem. And so Terry advised me to invite you to turn off your cameras if you like, to have some privacy. After I finish reading it, I'll just pause, as I've been practicing in my MCC work with Terry, and we'll just leave you some room to kind of process and be with the experience, and then we'll invite some discussion. Okay. The voice. She wanted someone to tell her what to do. And so they did. But she did not like it, because deep inside of her there was a voice that knew exactly what she wanted. Except early on, with the help of some well-meaning people, she decided that she was broken. Not capable and not lovable, just damaged. And therefore, there was no point in listening to her own voice or to feel feelings. It was really hard to feel those feelings. It was a lot easier to not feel feelings, to just use logic instead. She didn't feel much when she used logic, or when she stayed busy, very busy. And everyone else around her was busy. And for once, she felt okay, not different. She worked really hard to appear perfect. She built walls, she wore masks. She tried so hard to make sure that no one could see her cracks or how imperfect she really was. And that's how it came about that she kept going to other people for answers, because she did not believe that her own were any good. The less she listened to her own voice, the more scared and confused she got. And the more she leaned on others to tell her what to do. Except she did not like those answers, because deep inside of her, there was a voice that knew exactly what she wanted. She got stuck, feeling cold, alone, frozen, unable to move, unable to decide, slowly getting sicker and sicker. She did not like that. Feeling the feelings was no fun. But being sick was no fun either. Besides, she knew that deep inside of her, there was a fire, fierce enough to burn through that nonsense, bright enough to dissipate darkness, hot enough to melt icicles, powerful enough that people could hear it even when it whispered. When that fire got out, It turned itself into a big dancing red smile that bent itself into a heart and sat by your side when you were sick. And then, with a mischievous wink, it would steal your blanket and give you a kick in the behind and send you out into the world to let your own fire free. It moved mountains out of the way to make the impossible possible. It made people cry so hard that they started laughing, and it made people laugh so hard that they started crying. It occurred to her that she had a job to do in this world, that she had no other choice but to set that fire free. Besides, she remembered that one time when she just knew exactly what she to do. She felt it, she went for it, even though it wasn't logical, and it turned out just great. And so she decided she was going to listen to her own voice. But how was she to do that? She was so busy, crazy busy, very busy. When she was that busy, she couldn't hear the voice. And so she got everything, she put together everything she got, her oomph, her courage, her everything, and she stopped for just a little short while. But all she could hear were her own busy thoughts. Then she heard many voices. But how was she to know which one was the one? And as she kept trying, the voice got more and more excited, because who doesn't like to be listened to? And as it got more excited, it got louder and louder, and she could hear it easier and easier. Sometimes, even when she was busy, she liked it, she felt it, and she liked the feeling. As the fire was getting out, the walls slowly melted. She no longer felt alone, scared, or sick. She still sometimes asks people for what she should do, but she asks herself first, because deep inside of her, there is a voice that knows.
So what was it like for you?
Julian, this is Deborah. That was beautiful. Thank you. I have a young client right now who, this could be written for her, but it, like you, it started in your introduction. I think there are many, many of us who can embrace this, and it resonates, I think, with many individuals. So thank you.
Thank you. Oh, and by the way, I just want to, I meant to put it in the beginning. This poems, they just kind of happen. So I don't really feel a lot of like, okay, maybe it's no good, but I just, it's not so much that I wrote them, I just wrote them down, if you know what I mean. But thank you.
I'm moved Julia? By it again.
Oh.
And
go ahead.
I'm moved by it again, Julia, and I'm thinking of a couple of clients from a few years ago who didn't understand the concept of presence and being. And reading a poem like that in the presence of the person who wrote it has to leave someone with an experience that is beyond the head. And that alone could be a gift to clients, some poetry that you or they select and read, and then you ask them what's going on. Thank you for the courage and vulnerability you have shared.
Julie, I wanted to thank you so much for this poem. It really, really resonated with me. I work with...
What is your name?
I'm Joanne Skinner. I work with clients who have ADHD, and you described it so well, that feeling of being broken and not capable, and it keeps them from accessing all of their strengths. So the process that you went through with this poem was amazing to me, and helpful to hear it put to words how people don't always believe in themselves and what a hindrance it can be. So thank you for sharing it.
Oh my God.
Appreciate it.
This is Sharon, and I want to just acknowledge also the that it really validated the courage that it takes to do that, you know, the decision or the willingness to listen, and that even when you have that courage, there are many voices. It's still difficult, and there's still and then you maybe begin to hear and to act more on that inner voice, but that we're still very, nobody's got it down, right? We're still very imperfect creatures in our perfection. And that, so the poem was such a beautiful journey of kind of that whole process of exploration and of listening and of owning the hurt parts and the vulnerable parts, along with the courage to break free. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Julia. This is Christina from Italy.
Hello.
Thank you for sharing your poem. I was thinking, since we are all here in a group of coaches, and when you said the title of your poem, The Voice, it's kind of like you gave the voice to this voice, and when Terry was talking about the presence, it's also about the voice of the coach. So it's also made me, this poem made me reflect on our presence as coaches in the process of coaching, both in team or individual coaching. But I'm curious to know more, to learn more about how do you use this poem, and what is the effect, the reaction in team coaching? Because at the same time, I was reflecting, and I'm just using my thought loud now. You propose this poem, and it is an inspiration. It is obviously a great, deep inspiration, and at the same time, it brings something. It brings a theme, a topic, an issue. So it also gives some, how can I say, yes, a starting point, but something that comes from the coach. So I'm both trying to figure out the process of using these tools in team coaching.
If I may, building on your word, Christina, beginning, what if this poem was read at the beginning of a team meeting, when the team first comes together?
That would be an amazing invitation for vulnerability and being real. So in terms of how to use it, this poem is, I'm going to share some others where I'll have more examples. This poem is one of my more recent ones, and just one recent example. I've been coaching with a woman who is an executive and a doctor and is very bright and is in her head, and I was having a hard time getting out of, like, what is the next set of skills that we're going to use, like, that we're going to learn, and how am I going to get my new promotion, and, like, all that stuff. Very, like, problem solving. It was having a hard time getting deeper with her. And so then I just, in the midst of the session, I said, would you allow me to share something with you? She said, sure. I mean, what else was she going to say? No. But, and so I did. So I read it, and it totally shifted. Where the conversation was that in her mind, without going into a whole lot of detail, she didn't think that she could go for anything that truly excited her in her work, because she believed that something bad was going to happen in her family life. One time when she was early in her residency, she went for this exciting residency, and her young daughter was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, or whatever, with diabetes. And so that was such a devastating event for her that somehow that's what happened in her mind. And she only became aware of that in that moment as I was reading that poem. So that's one example. It's produced many tears. People would start crying. And then, you know, we all know what a gift it is to have tears in the session. You could ask questions like, what is your fire? What is it like when your fire is out? Was it like when your fire is not out? So there's your life purpose exploration right there. What does it take for you to stop? What does being busy do for you? There's so many.
Thank you. It's really inspiring, and it's also, yeah, like giving voice. I mean, in this case, with this poem, giving voice to many silent and uncovered thoughts.
And so now what I'd like to do is to move on to share a couple more poems that kind of have to do with the same theme, valuing your voice, what it's like when you do and when you don't, and some more examples of how I've used them with clients. The rest are short term. So I'm going to pause between them, and it's just kind of up to you. If you want to have a discussion after each one, or if you want to have a discussion afterwards about all of them, just kind of feel free to jump in if you like. Okay, so this one's called Integrity. Say what you mean and do what you say. It's not always easy, but it's the way. If you say to please, you'll lose your ease, and before you know it, your soul will freeze. So one example of using this, I've been working with a team, actually, coming back to the team session, the team title, and people were talking about how, you know, what they really want to talk about just comes out in the water fountain conversation. And so I offered this poem to them, and it was just the energy changed. Everybody started talking, and in the end, they asked me for the poem, they printed it out, and they each have in their own office as a reminder. So, moving on, or you want to talk about it?
I'd love to hear it again.
Okay.
Please. Is that okay?
Integrity. say what you mean and do what you say. It's not always easy, but it's the way. If you say to please, you'll lose your ease. And before you know it, your soul will freeze. Moving on to the other one, that's called Where Work is Play. The wave comes crashing down the beach, and yes, you're here, and there seems within reach. You only need to be brave. The wave will take you up and down from light to despair to light. From here to there and all around. Breathe deep and enjoy the ride. The stars are shining and the light is bright. No, it's not there, you say. It can't be serious. All I do is be me. They like it and they want to pay. It's perfect, we answer. You arrived, it is you, you're there, you did not run away. It is your job to give to the world those gifts where work is play. It's possible, honest, you don't need to bleed. Relax and take it all in, the stars and the sand, the sound and the smell. We hear, you've got children to feed. You've ridden the wave. Don't hide in the cave. Come out and drink the sun. It will take some time and these will come. Be brave, be patient, have fun. So a little bit more on the lighter note than the first one, right? So what do you think? How might you use this one? Any ideas? No ideas? Then I'll move on.
Well, I'm aware for me in listening to this poem that I started to go outside of myself and remember all the miracles of nature that are there to support me. Because you had them all. You had the stars and the waves and the sun, and it was like, oh yeah, there's more of a world than just me.
Mm-hmm. One example of how I used it is, I have, as I'm sure many of you do, several clients who believe that work, like, you're not supposed to enjoy it really. You just got to work hard and grind it down and make the money so you can live outside the work hours. And it's hard to shift this belief, and I find that when I offer this poem, somehow the conversation becomes different. And I'm like so lucky. I love coaching, as I'm sure everybody else does. I also love my interpreting side of my life that has provided so many great opportunities. And this particular poem was actually written in of all places, in Guantanamo Bay, where I went as an interpreter to interpret for lawyers who represented detainees in their cases against the U.S. government. And that was such a meaningful work to do, but also it's a beautiful place, and there are waves and the sun, like all that stuff, it was all there. And that whole time, and they like it and they want to pay. I mean, yeah, it wasn't about me in that setting. So going back to what Christina said about coach's presence, And going back to the integrity one, part of what integrity means to me is that I got to walk the talk. So if I'm telling someone that they can enjoy their work, I need to be able to have that experience myself. So. The other one is, you know, so okay, people find their voice, they find their calling, they go for it, they're doing what they love, and sometimes they can't stop. It's too much. And so sometimes they get confused about, like, now for the sake of what are they going for that next thing? And what is the cost that they're paying for it? So, just a minute. Yes. But this one is called How Much Is Enough? And it goes like this. How much money will you make? How much glory will you take? How many obstacles will you jump? How much iron will you pump? How many diseases will you cure? How much pain will you endure? How many hearts will you break? How many babies will you make? How many heads will you turn? How many bridges will you burn? How many medals will you win? In how many rivers will you swim? How many letters after your name? How many people to follow your game? How many irons in the fire? How many objects do you desire? How much care can you give? How many lives can you live? How much can you pack in a moment? A day, a week, a month? Think of what it will do for you when you're dancing your last dance. How much is enough? The question is tough. Take a look and don't ignore. From here to there, let's find your pace. From here to there, there is no race. Do you know what this is all for? We know it's rough to look at the stuff. We know it's not your aim. I dare say you'll have to pay tomorrow all the same. Let's build up your core. Then less can be more. And peace will knock on your door. Any reaction to that?
Julia, this is an inspiration for coaches because it's all about questions and about questions beginning with how, which is perfect. But it is all, I was also thinking when you were reading that for us as coaches, it is so much about creating and building and promoting trust and intimacy to share poems like these, especially for you that you have written these poems and showing the vulnerability. So it's also about trust and intimacy.
That's
true.
Tools.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Alan Young. So as you were reading this poem, I was just thinking to myself that as a coach, one of the things I'm trying to help people do is to discover some of the truths about themselves that they haven't brought up into their lives, and it seemed like this poem actually would be very helpful in accelerating that process. It's a beautiful way of bringing people to connect with what they're doing now and what does it all mean, and bringing that question into the conversation earlier than perhaps would happen otherwise. So thank you.
So one example of how I used it, I was working with a client who was a cantor in the synagogue, and she also had a business of like marrying people, doing interfaith marriages and things like that. So she was very creative. She had her own band. She performed everywhere. And she also decided that she wanted to study to become a rabbi. And what she brought into coaching was that time management. She wanted to talk about time management because she was having a hard time fitting in her rabbinical studies into her busy life. And so I had a sense that, you know, like it's never about time management, right? It's about something else. And so I sent her this poem. I didn't tell her it was mine. And so I asked her, I said, what do you think about it? And she said to me, and she's a very expressive woman. Everything is very expressive. So she says, I hate it. I'm like, great. What do you hate about it? And anyway, so within, I don't know how long, but in that session, what came up was that she actually didn't believe in God. And so the business of becoming a rabbi was a little incongruent. And so no wonder she was having a hard time finding time for it. But the real reason why she was going for it is that she needed more letters after her name. And that line, how many letters after her name, was just, oh, went right there. So,
hello, may I add something to this conversation?
Yes, hi,
it's Francesca from Italy. I just wanted to say that the poem to me resonates with the life purpose. The first thing I thought is that it could be used also to facilitate the life purpose discovery, to make people think or feel in the life purpose session why they're here for, in a nutshell.
Great. Thank you.
Hello,
yes.
It's Romina from Italy. I don't know if you can hear me because my audio is not working very well.
I can hear you.
Okay, good. I just wanted to thank you because it's been beautiful. All of them, they were beautiful. And I didn't want to break the silence because it was so intense. And really, you create this space. I was focused on what your voice really created this wonderful space. So thank you very much. I just wanted to say that the first one for me was very, very touching. And I thought about some people I know, and it could be very, very nice, beside the poem, to them. And also, it reminded me of Mark Nepo, some poem of Mark Nepo, which Thierry introduced me, and it was about listening. So listening our own voice. So it was very, very interesting and nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I have just two more that I'm going to read today, and then the rest of the time will just be for us to talk. Okay, so this one's called The Treadmill. You think you're getting from here to there. The treadmill is on, but you aren't aware that you are running in place faster and faster. If you don't slow down, you're facing disaster. You're so busy you don't even breathe. How much more energy can you squeeze? It's amazing how much you endure. But where are you going? We don't think you're sure. And then comes the question that's been sitting somewhere. What's up with this race from here to there? You're paying a lot to get where? Sometimes we're so busy that we don't even know we're on the treadmill, out of integrity, thinking that work cannot be play, pushing for that next accomplishment, stifling our own voice, shackled by fear that others will find out how imperfect we really are. Except for we are not. Inside of us, there is a voice. And that voice will give us the signal to stop, breathe, get off the treadmill, and come home. It takes a lot to hear that voice, recognize it, accept it, value it, and act on it. It's a tall order to choose freedom. And you know what? Sometimes it's okay not to. And the last poem for today is to that end. Freedom to be with your own pain. Freedom to see when all is in vain. Freedom to take it as a precious gift. Freedom to let it give you a lift. Freedom to face your own shame, to hold it with wonder. It's no one's blame. Courage to feel, courage to peel the layers of armor so wounds could heal. Freedom from chains and scripts of your past, erasing them gently. They don't have to last. Freedom to play both big and small. Freedom to rise and freedom to fall. Freedom to be either happy or sad. Freedom to be both good and bad. Freedom from thinking it's either or. Freedom to play or do a chore. Freedom from trying to get somewhere. Freedom to be both here and there. Freedom to do something or not at all, ignoring the voice that knows it all. Freedom from living the fairy tales. Freedom from freedom and all it entails. Thank you. So what's present right now?
Julia, this is Deborah. I for myself, but perhaps for others, this group usually talks a little more. So probably a lot of self-reflection going on.
Well, we can take some time and then just share whatever comes up. I mean, that's the intent here, is to invite self-reflection and then have an opportunity to share and maybe co-create something together.
From Spain.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for your beautiful poems. And really, I feel in peace, you know? So for this reason, I really don't need to talk a lot, only to be and to share with you silence and feelings. That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I also wanted to thank you. This is Mary. I don't know, a month ago or so, I always choose a word for the year, and my word this year is freedom. So that last poem sort of brought all of the others together for me. And they're all very beautiful and reflective. They are all reflective.
Julia, we got a couple of chats. Max Cavazza said, a world of possibilities, no boundaries.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I see the chat here.
Mm-hmm. And then Romina Porta said, presence, being in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Julia. My name is Gina.
Hi.
Hello. I just wanted to thank you for those beautiful words. Thanks for writing those words for me. The first one especially, and treadmill also, they're great. And I had not found the words to say what I'm feeling right now at this moment of my life. So thanks for putting words to my life. Thank you. They have been healing, and I think at some point of our lives, we all need this healing process, and I think that's why we're so silent today. So they are great. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, maybe if the words are not coming up, maybe you might want to take a moment and draw. That's another one of the creative tools that I use a lot. I just invite people to draw whatever comes out and then see what that drawing tells them.
Okay, I'll try that. Thank you.
Hi, Julia. This is Adriana. Thank you very much for sharing those poems. Really touched the heart. And I'm very visual. And so in this case, it was my hearing. So closing my eyes and just hearing your words and getting the connection to the heart was a wonderful experience. So this is the first time I have done something like this, and I believe it has been great for me, self-reflection, and I believe it's a very powerful resource to use with the clients. So thank you very much for sharing all of this.
And thank you. That makes me think about also how to use it, because if the client is visual, then maybe one way to do it is to read it to them, but also invite them to close their eyes as they're listening.
Yes, it helped me connect and even start kind of imagining the words, and it was a great feeling. So thank you very much.
Are you comfortable sharing some of the images that came up for you?
So, sure. In the poem that was about the sky and the waves and all of that, for me, the waves have the symbolism of perseverance. Actually, I have a tattoo of a wave, of some waves. And for me, that one made a very good connection in terms of the meaning of what that word putting in the image has for me. So I believe that depending on what you're experiencing or anything like that, it connects you. The treadmill that you were sharing, I like to run a lot, so I am used to the treadmill. So imagining the treadmill and also kind of that reflection, it's not necessarily what you do, but why you are doing it, and what are you trying to accomplish with that? That it's good food for thought. And the last one about the freedom. I've been working kind of in the balance on when I need to do things, because I am a lot in the doing, and that's something I have been working on personally, and the part of letting go. So for me, it's kind of that yin and yang. When I do, when I let go, and how I combine both of the things, because both are important. So how you share the freedom in terms of sometimes you have the freedom to go and do, and you also have the freedom to go and don't do.
And not do.
Exactly. And for me, that connect a lot, really good with what I am personally working at, and it was wonderful. So I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Christina, this is Vera. I'm in student of coaching at the moment. Can you hear me okay?
No, my apologies about the dog. I was
planning on going to my office today to make sure that this doesn't happen, but they're closed. It's a shared office suite, and they're closed because of the snow. So, again, I apologize, but I have no other options.
Julia, I can mute you while Ira is talking. Ira, we can all hear you, so go ahead and ask your question. And I'll mute Julia just temporarily.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I've been thinking a lot about one of the most powerful gifts that the coach offers is the art of listening. And I've always been a big extrovert. So I've been accustomed to talking most of my life and listening not a lot. And so trying to teach myself to be a better listener and to really embrace the art of listening. And recently launched a podcast, Conversation, Super Soul Conversations between Oprah and Mark Nepo, I think somebody also mentioned earlier. And he talks about kind of his life before a life event, a lot somewhat resembling of the treadmill idea, you know, busy, but not really sure where you're going, or maybe even intentional, or so you think, until something major happens and you realize what you've done in the past isn't working, and so you have to change things. I've been doing a lot of journaling, and those last two poems really, really hit home. As much as I sometimes ask myself and wonder if busy is a good thing or a bad thing, I think part of it is just a component of being at a certain age and having responsibilities both to older adults and to younger kids, and each needing your attention as well as family members and others in the career that's evolving, right? So you're kind of stretched in a lot of different directions. And wondering if busy can also be intentional, right? So I've been doing some journaling and have a little diagram here that starts to interweave three different components. One is love, which incorporates family, intimacy, depth of relationship. One is learning, which focuses on keeping up the career growth, the leadership coaching, training, and really putting forth the effort necessary to reap the benefits of the experience and offering benefit to others. Personal reflection, and then the third component of explore and adventure. And now I'm at a point where, now that I've mapped these things out and understanding that these are the things that really fill the cup, trying to understand what exists in the intersection of these three things, love, learning, and exploring adventures, new things. Whether it's learning a new language, a new instrument, taking a relationship a little deeper, those kinds of things, because keeping things new and interesting. And as I reflect on the treadmill column, I wonder just if you can maybe offer any thoughts or wisdom there, but I really do struggle between busy and intentional. And I really personally believe that busy can be intentional, and I'm hoping that I will learn more about it as I learn the art of listening, both internally through journaling, but also externally by talking less.
So, yes, yeah, so it's quiet there now, so I have something to say. Hello?
Yes. You're unmuted. You're okay. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you. And it's quiet in the background. So thank you so much. I mean, you're so intentional in the way you're trying to be with your life situation and your business. So it sounds like you just articulated your main values, love, learning, and exploration and adventure, and you're just trying to see how to honor them in your life. Maybe not every day, not every value every day. I posed this question to, I have a relative who is a Buddhist teacher. And so I posed that question. I believe that the treadmill and how much is enough, I mean, they're all everything's connected here, right? So if you know how much is enough, you're only going to be as busy as you want to be busy. And so I ask him, like, how do you know when to stop? Because, like, if you're saving the world, how can you possibly stop, right? And he had, like, a great answer. I'll ask you that. And his answer was, if you feel tired or bored, those are two great... So anyway, this was his kind of suggestion. When you feel like you're feeling tired or bored, then that's probably enough.
And there is one other way, which happened to me. I fell off the treadmill. And I haven't been back on one since. So I want to thank you, Julia, for a deeply meaningful time that you have shared with us. And as we, including me, reflect on the value we've received, we have to remember that we are coaches and we can provide this kind of value for our clients as well through the use of poetry, either creating your own, buying someone else's, finding someone else's. Have that be one of the resources that's available to help someone go deep inside and bring up stuff that is ready to be brought up. So thank you so much for sharing yourself, your poems, and this space with all of us.
Thank you so much for inviting me and also for sharing your experiences. If any one of you is interested in using any of the poems, or if you want to know if